Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2, and that's the first time I heard that song. And that's going to be one of my favorites. Matthew chapter 2. I'd like to read verse 1 down through verse 12. My text will be verse 11. Matthew 2, 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Whether or not you agree with the commercialism or the religious application of this holiday season, you must agree that it is a season of giving. People are more benevolent during this time. The spirit of Christmas, if you will, often emerges with compassion. We give to strangers. We give to our enemies. We give to our friends and loved ones. We like to give gifts, and we enjoy the pleasure that we bring. Now, our text speaks of the act of giving. The Magi traveled a great distance to appear before the young child, and when they did, they offered him their gifts. Now, why did they do so? And better yet, should we do the same? So I would like to think about what we found in our text, especially on verse 11, but we'll begin in verse 2. But what I have entitled, Bring Your Gifts to the King. May you be encouraged today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and I ask you to bless each one who could not be here due to sickness and providential hindrance. Lord, you be pleased to heal the sick. And Lord, we ask that you'd be with those who are traveling. Keep them safe. And Lord, you've been so good to us and kind to us and gracious. We're not deserving of any of it. And Father, thank you for your blessings. And we ask that you would bless this time together as we've come in your name. And we've sang praise to you and we've offered up our prayers. And now as we look into your word, I pray for your leadership and your guidance. Bless the message you've laid on my heart for your people at this time. And I pray that you would just draw us to you. And Lord, stir up our hearts. And we ask if there's any here that is lost, that they might be saved. And that we who are saved would be found to give our gifts to you. Lord, forgive us where we fall short. And we just commit this to you today. We love you. We honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think from our passage today, the title of my message, Bring Your Gifts to the King. Now back in verse 2, we want to begin by noticing the story that we have in the account written for us according to Matthew by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we have the account of the three kings coming from the Orient, from the East, over to find Jesus. And you know the story. We read through the passages. But I find in verse 2, first of all, the recognition of a king. It says that he gave the time frame in verse 1, and the latter part of that verse talks about how the three wise men came. And then when they came to Jerusalem, they began to make inquiry. And their question was this, Where is he that is born? Now notice, King of the Jews. King of the Jews. For we have seen a star in the east, and we have come to worship Him. And they weren't just coming because of this idea or that idea, but you know why they came? They came because they understood that this one that they're looking for is the King of the Jews. There's the recognition of a king. Now, if we would think about a king and what association there is with that, there are some words that come to mind. I have four that I'm going to offer you as we think about their recognition of a king, and I think it'll be very evident. And you say, well, some of these things that you're going to talk about doesn't necessarily apply to the kings of this world, like King Henry or any other sort of king. Well, perhaps not in that degree, but you got to remember who Jesus is and who they're seeking, and the King of the Jews. And so four words come to mind when I think about how they recognized this one as king. First word is the word authority. When I think of a king, I think of one who rules, one who reigns, one who is in authority. And generally, if you look back through history, kings could do whatever they wish. Their word was law, and if they said this, that's what took place. If they wanted to say, off with your head, that's what exactly would take place. You know why? Because they had authority. And them coming to look for Jesus, who is the King of the Jews, is a recognition that this king is a person with authority. The second word is the word allegiance. Generally, you will find those who are loyal to the king. Now, not in all kingdoms will you find everybody loyal without exception. There have been those who are overthrown and other kings put in their stead, and sometimes it's a very precarious situation on the earthly matter. But generally, we understand that kingdoms are ruled by a king, and the subjects are loyal to the king. And there's an allegiance to the king. I see an interest in their heart here as they come looking for the king, this one with authority. If they were in a position, they would be glad to plead their allegiance to him. Why? Because he is king. And the third word that comes to mind is the word subservient. And we know that's true, and especially as you go back through the Dark Ages and you have the monarchs of Europe, and you can read the stories and all that. You know about the kings, and you see the movies that are presented, the theatrical presentations. And when you have a king, you usually have people who are subservient. And the king rules, and you have a kingdom, and the people do the king's bidding. And if there's no one to do the king's bidding, then there really is no kingdom. So we have a king who has authority, one with has allegiance, people who are loyal to him, and of course, those would be subservient to him. And then the fourth thought that comes to mind, a word, would be the word honor, or we might suggest the word respect. Generally, you better respect the king. You better honor the king. Why? Well, again, if you think of the earthly realm, you disrespect the king, you could be put down into the prison house, or you could lose your head, or they could confiscate all your goods. Well, that's the earthly realm. But we talk about Jesus here, and we talk about these kings, the wise men coming from the east, coming to the King of the Jews, and they recognize there is a king, and they're looking for him. That's why they have come. And so the first point of my message today is the recognition of a king. Now, down to verse 11, we find the response to a king. They look for Jesus. They get the information. They go down to Bethlehem. They do their search. They find him in the house, and they approach him inside the house. So you read there, they were coming to the house. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Keep in mind, Jesus would have been about 2 years of age about this time. And they didn't show up at the nativity. The wise men showed up in the house. As we see in the scripture here, they came. And there are three things that you find in this passage. Look at verse 11, how they responded to the King of the Jews. It says that when they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell down, number one, and worshipped him, that's number two. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, that's number three. And they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These three basic thoughts of response to a king, which really and truly, and even in the earthly realm, if you want to survive underneath a king, you better have some semblance of these things, or you're likely not to live very long, or you better leave the country, because earthly king's not going to respond too well to those who do not respond to him. What was their response to the King of the Jews? What was their response to this king? They recognized him as king. They saw him as king. Yet he was an infant. Three things. You find humility. You find worshiping. and you find giving. They fell down. That's an act of humility, to bow the knee. They surrendered. They were putting themselves in a lower position. They showed humility by bowing the knee to this little boy. 2 years of age, they bowed the knee. Humility, second, is worship. The scripture says that they did that very thing. They worshiped him, gave him praise, gave him glory. They worshiped this king, and then they gave to the king. They gave. They opened up their own treasures, and they gave him the gifts that they had brought for this king. Very simple, very brief, but their response was humility, worship, and giving. But then I want to make mention of this last part as well, because of the title of the message is "Bring Your Gifts to the King." We have the story of these wise men bringing their gifts to the King of the Jews. They recognize him as king. They had a response to the king. And then the last part of verse 11, I want to mention in my third point for the message, is the rewards for a king. It says that they opened up their treasure and presented unto him gifts. It was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now I want you to realize they opened up their treasures. These are valuables that they brought with them. They esteemed these things of high value, of great worth. They themselves were kings, and they came and they brought these things, and they are offering these treasures back to the king. And so we see gold. Gold is a very precious metal. You know what gold is. A lot of people watch the gold market and the fluctuation and all that. Gold represents wealth, represents prosperity. They offered unto him frankincense. Frankincense is an aromatic tree gum. And they used it for incense. And so that's what they would use as the priests would go in. And part of that was frankincense. They would burn the incense. And so it involves the issue of worship. And so we see these kings recognizing the king, giving him gold, worshiping him. They give him incense, but then they give him myrrh. Now the thing about myrrh is that was also an aromatic tree gum, but it was very bitter. Frankincense was sweet and a good smell, and myrrh was a bitter, and a bitter smell and a bitter taste. And it was often used as an ointment and used as a painkiller. Now, this is symbolically reflected in the seasonal song, We Three Kings. You can find that in the hymn book, but listen, as they mention in this song, and whoever, I don't have the name of the person who authored the song, but who wrote this song understood the symbols behind the gifts. Listen to the words of the song. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. And so they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wealth of a king, the worship of a god, and the painkiller for one who would be a sacrifice for sinners. We see the rewards for a king. Now, what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? We read this story, we see these accounts, and the effect of what's being taken place. I want to submit unto you in a practical application of this, the reality of the king. I've noticed the recognition of the king, the response to a king, and the rewards for a king. My fourth point is the reality of the king. They came to Jesus. They saw him as king. Herod was very upset over that because he's the ruler in Judea. And if this is a king, this is the problem. And that's why, and you'll know that as Herod diligently sought, wanted to know what time the star appeared, he wanted to find the child. You know why? He wanted to execute the child. And if you know the story, because God sent these wise men back another way, warned them not to go back to Herod, Herod got so upset over that, and he had all the children killed in the area from 2 years age and under. Do you know why? He was trying to destroy this king. So Herod understood who Jesus might have been, and he understood the prophecies. He wanted to do away with the king, but God had sent Joseph and Mary away into Egypt until the time was safe and they should return. But I'll tell you, what this one whom the Magi sought after is indeed the true king. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to express to you this morning, if you have any question at all, and if our house was full and we'd have people here that would not be churched very often and would not know much about the Word of God, you all are very familiar with it. But if we had people that weren't familiar, you know, they might hear these stories and go, well, that's nice, that's cute, I hear about these things, and we know about the story of Christmas and all that. But they might never really connect with who this Jesus really is. Jesus is not just the King of the Jews. I mean, he is the real King. And this is the reality of this king. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's being expressed for us in verse 14 and verse 15. And I submit unto you, my friend, you know it to be true. I know it to be true. The Word of God bears this out. Jesus Christ is not just a king. He is the King of kings. And so Paul writes to Timothy, and he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, Timothy, that you would keep this commandment. Verse 14, by the way. 6:14, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continues, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is just not a king. He is the king. He is the king that surpasses all. All kings. And there have been great kings that has come through this world. Solomon is one of the greatest, and God blessed him with a great reign of peace. And that was following up on King David. Everybody understands King David, but you want to know who's greater than them all of any king at any time? It's Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This is borne out further over in Revelation chapter 17. Listen as I read to you. In verse 14, talking about the beast, and during that tribulation time, it says, these shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them. This is Revelation 17:14. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Yes, Jesus Christ is King of kings. As a matter of fact, a few more pages over into Revelation chapter 19, in verse 16, we find in chapter 19, Jesus coming back on a white horse, and the armies of heaven follow him. And in verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. There is no question whatsoever, my friend, that Jesus Christ is the true King. And so I mention to you today the reality of the King. Over in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is born and the angels appear in the sky, they cry out in verse 11 and says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the reality of the King. But that being said, he deserves the proper response due a king. Don't you think so? If Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, how should we respond to him? How should you respond to this King? Well, I point you back to what we found in our text with these wise men as they came to the King of the Jews. Those three elements we read there in verse 11. It was humility and worship and gifts. You want to know how to respond to this King of Kings? Humility, worship, and gifts. If you're here and you're lost, your first and greatest need is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize Him for who He is. It's just not a religious symbol. My friend, He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And you need to understand that He is indeed King. And that should bring out, number one, humility. Will you bow the knee to Jesus Christ? You know, every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, we've been saved by His grace and by His mercy. We bow the knee. We surrender to Him. We yield to Him. We recognize Him as the true King of all the earth. And so we recognize King Jesus. We're humble before Him. But sinner, I want you to know, if you continue on your way and you die and go to hell, you'll still one day bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Philippian church over in Philippians chapter 2 and said that at that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may not bow now. You may not submit now. You may not surrender now. But there will come a day as you lift up your eyes in hell and you will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And you will recognize that He is the King of this world. He is the King of this universe. He is the King. And it deserves that we should be humble before Him. Secondly, is the matter of worship. Who should we worship? We don't worship a man. We don't worship a religion. We don't worship a denomination, my friend. We worship Jesus Christ. He is the true King. He is God of all the universe. He deserves to be fell down before and rendered our humbleness before Him, and we ought to worship Him. Those three wise men came to Jesus and they worship Him. Now truly among men it would be improper for a man to worship a man. But it was not wrong for those three wise men to worship Jesus, because He indeed is the King of Kings. And they saw this as the King of the Jews. And I'll tell you, my friend, we need to understand who Jesus is, that He is the God of all the universe. He is the King of Kings. We ought to humble ourselves before Him. We ought to worship Him. And then, what did they do? They presented unto Him gifts. They gave gifts to Him. Remember, the title of the message is, Bring Your Gifts to the King. Now, Jesus certainly deserved gifts, didn't He? As a matter of fact, He deserved the best gifts. Those magi brought of their treasures unto Him. By the way, I don't think you ought to use this for an occasion to prove out. That's why at Christmas we give gifts and things like that. That's not the point at all. The whole point is these guys' response to the King and how they worshiped Him. They were humble before Him and they gave gifts to the King. We can still give gifts to the King today. That's why I say, bring your gifts to the King. And He deserves the best gifts. Let me share with you a brief quote from a commentary. And he said this, The offerings here referred to were made because they were the most valuable which the country of the Magi or wise men produced. They were tokens of respect and homage which they paid to the newborn King of the Jews. They evinced their high regard for Him and their belief that He was to be an illustrious prince. And the fact that their deed is recorded with approbation shows us that we should offer our most valuable possessions, our all, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wise men came from afar to do Him homage and bowed down and presented Him their best gifts and offerings. It is right that we give to Him also our hearts, our property, our all. End of quote. I believe it's right on the money there. As they brought gifts to the King of the Jews, that teaches us that we understand the reality of the King of Kings, and we too should be humble before Him. We should worship Him. We should bring our gifts to Jesus. Having said that, let me pass on to the fifth point of the message, and it is this. I believe there ought to be respect to the King. You need to respect the King. Under this, I would submit unto you that we should recognize Him. You know why some people aren't saved today? Because they refuse to recognize who Jesus is. They deny Him as the Son of God. They reject that He is Jesus who would come into the world, who is the Savior of the world. They reject that. I know people who believe that in God, but they reject Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I see this text, these wise men recognizing the King. And today, we need to recognize the King. Jesus Christ. So if you're lost, that's the first thing you need to know. You need to recognize Jesus is King. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a king, then, you need to respond to Him. And so we should recognize Him. Secondly, we should respond well to Him. Now, I understand in the earthly realm there are people in authority we don't respond so well to. And if we were under a monarch, we might not respond very well to a king, depending on the type of king or queen or whatever it is. Sometimes in our government and the republic of which we have, we don't always respond well. We don't always agree with those who are in power. But I'll tell you, when you talk about the King of Kings, when you talk about the God of the universe, He who is holy and righteous and good, we ought to always respond well to Him. There's never an occasion not to respond well to Him. But how have you responded? How have you responded to the King of Kings? Have you bowed the knee? Do you continue to bow the knee? Do you worship this King? Do you bring your gifts? And so I say that we ought to respect the King. I'm talking about Jesus Christ above all. We need to respect Him by recognizing who He is, by responding well unto Him. And then thirdly, and the emphasis of the message, we should offer rewards befitting His position. That's what those guys did. That's what the Magi brought. They were coming to a king. They just didn't rummage around in their garage and got whatever else they just couldn't sell in a garage sale and then brought to King Jesus. Under this, I would submit unto you that our perspective will direct our response. How you view the King will direct how you respond. We find in our society those who would claim the name Jesus Christ, they would claim to be Christians, and many of them will join churches. But you know what? In and overall, through their life, there's not a lot of indication there, not a lot of evidence that they really do love the Lord, that they have any concern for Him. And that they even recognize that He's King. You know why? It's because their perspective isn't the way it ought to be. I believe if our perspective is right, our response will be right. And if we have a poor response, it's because we don't really recognize who He truly is. So our perspective will direct our response. And then I find that our perspective will define our gifts. If I see Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, I'm going to bring Him greater gifts than I'm going to bring to anyone else. Who deserves greater gifts than Jesus Christ? Who deserves our best more than any? Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He's the King of Kings. That's it. He's the top. That's it. That's where it is. But how you view Him will be the way you will respond to Him, will be the way you will give gifts to Him. And so I express to you today to bring your gifts to the King. If you don't think Him much of a King, you may not even bring Him a gift. You may not be interested in giving anything to the Lord. Or you might just scrounge around in the back closet and on in the corners of the garage and whatever the lower parts of the basements of your hearts and dig out something just to give to Him. But that's not much of a gift to the King, is it? And so our perspective will define our gifts. And I believe if we truly understand the King of Kings and who He is, that the gifts which we bring to Him is going to be of value to us. I see these magi, when they brought unto Him the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh, these are things that were valuable to them. And again, they just weren't the leftovers. But I find in our society it's so easy for people just to give God the leftovers. And, He's way down on the list. And so we want to give our gifts to the King, and we want to give things that are of value to us. And I believe that those gifts ought to be brought with a willingness out of love. Y'all not just got all bent out of shape, well, I'll show that preacher, I'll just give gifts to the Lord here. You know, if you have an attitude like that, you're not going to get much reward out of it. You want to be willing. You want to give your gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ as a heart of love. I want to do this for the Lord. I want to give. I want to serve. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. And so whether you place it from a financial thing to a spiritual thing, you bring your gifts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring it out of love. Bring it because you love Him and you want to honor Him with your gift. And I'll tell you, you know what He wants from us? He wants all of us. He wants me. He wants you. Who we are, that's what He wants. And may we bring it to Him. And of course, if we give a gift to Him, it's surrendered to His use. You know, sometimes kids, You get around birthday parties, things like that. They give a gift and then they want it back. Or, hey, I want to play with that, and that kind of thing, you know. And it's a matter of, well, I've given it to you, but I still kind of think it's mine. And so we can have that kind of fault. We can do that with God sometimes, but, you know, as we bring our gifts to the King and we want to give to Him because we love Him, we need to just surrender to His use, and that's really all it is. If God wants me to give myself as a gift, you know what that is? Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me where you want me to go. Have me to be what you want me to be. You take me lock, stock, and barrel. Every part of me, it's surrendered to you. You know, in life, it's so difficult to do that sometimes. We hold on to certain aspects of our heart and our life, and we'll give certain areas of our heart to the Lord and cling on to the other areas for ourselves. It's hard to be totally surrendered, isn't it? But I encourage you, dear Christian friend, the best gift you can give to the Lord is to give yourself lock, stock, and barrel to Him. Fully surrendered to every aspect of your life and be what God would want you to be. You know, they brought Him gifts, and those rewards should befit His position. He is the King of Kings. He deserves the best. But then giving gifts like that and surrendering to Him, to His use, certainly demonstrates submissiveness, doesn't it? Now, if I'm not submissive, what am I doing? I'm rebellious to the King. And so, yet when I yield to Him, when I give to Him, when I love Him, I'm submitting to Him. You know what? I might have a little bit of hesitancy to pledge allegiance to some of the characters that run our government, but you know what? I have no hesitancy whatsoever to claim Jesus Christ. I do not waver a second to say He is my God, He is my King. And you know what? That being the case, I need to render to Him and be submissive to Him. And those gifts that we give to Him ought to be from our priority and not a second hand or not a castaway. Let's just not scrounge around to come up with something. Let's make it something of value to us to give to the King, because He is the King. And so we ought to recognize Him. We ought to respond well to Him. And I believe we ought to offer rewards befitting His position. And then lastly, I submit unto you, we need to return to the King. What I find back in Matthew chapter 2, what do I mean by return to the King? When those magi, they've been studying, they understood Scripture, but when they became aware that the King was present, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, they came looking for Jesus. When they were aware, they departed. They left their lands and went looking for the King. And today you might have come into this house and you might have heard about Jesus and understood a little bit about Him, but hasn't really connected. But through the course of the message, God really gotten a hold of you. And God showed you that Jesus is indeed the King of Kings. And you see Him in a new way, in a different way than you've ever seen Him. You've never been saved, so you need the Lord. You know what you need to do? You need to go to the King. You need to depart. Now that you recognize, you have an awareness of who He is, go to King Jesus. Turn to Him. I point you to Jesus. They departed when they were aware that He was King. And even if you're here and saved today, you know, and life and the world has kind of crashed in upon you, and the thorns and the thistles have sprung up, and it's choked everything about your Christian walk and life, and you've fallen away from God, and you're backslidden and cold, you know, your recognition of who He is today, and the respect that we ought to give Him, and the response that we ought to give Him, and the rewards we ought to give Him, you know, that would be, today would be a good time to return to the King. To just bow your head and say, God, I know You saved me, I know You've given me eternal life, but I've kind of wondered, and I want to come back to You because You're my King, and You want the best from me. And so they departed when they were aware, but then you'll also find in Matthew chapter 2 that they were deliberate. They had one goal in mind, and that was to worship the King. They said, we come to find Him. We come to worship this King. And something else I found about these guys in their return to the King, when they were aware, they sought for Him. They were deliberate. They had a reason for going to Him. The last thing I find is they were very diligent. And that was a long journey. They came from the east. It wasn't like they just jumped on a jet and they were there in a couple hours. We're talking, no doubt, months of travel over very harsh terrain and in danger of thieves and all kinds of marauding bands. You know what? They made this very long journey. They made inquiry. They searched it out. They didn't give up. And they went and they went and they went until they found him. And I'll tell you today, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, I know that sometimes being saved and coming to the Lord is not the easiest. Some people really struggle with that. Don't ever give up. You keep searching him and longing for him. You ask God to reveal Jesus to you. You be diligent. When they were made aware of the king, they returned to the king. That is, they went and looked for him. They inquired about him. They were diligent until they found him. They did not give up. They found him in the house. They gave him gifts. And then they went back to their kingdoms. But you get the practical application out of that, don't you? I trust that you do. Do not give up when you're pursuing after Jesus. Even as a Christian, we stumble. Do not give up. Keep pursuing. Be diligent. So in closing, I say this. You've heard the message. And I encourage you to bring your gifts to the king. But simply I say, you know what? These three men were considered wise men. You know, in our society, it's foolish to seek after religious things. It's dumb to seek after God. They have their own concepts. The world does. And so they see us as oddballs. They see us as freaks and fanatics. But you know what? The Bible says that these guys were wise men. And when they were aware of the king, they sought out the king. And when they found him, they responded to him with humility and worship and giving a gift. Don't you like that? And I encourage you, if you want to be wise today, you'll pursue the king. I'm talking about the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. You know, every now and then you'll see this bumper sticker. You ever see it? It says, wise men still seek him. That's still true today. Wise men still seek Jesus. If you're lost, would you seek him today? If you're saved, would you still pursue after him? And I believe in application of the message of today, with the title and the intent and the emphasis I've given you, wise men will give gifts to the king. And so if you want to be a wise man today, you will recognize the king, you'll respond to the king, and you'll reward the king. You'll give gifts to the king, and you'll give your gifts which are befitting his position. May God touch our hearts today to see Jesus Christ, to present ourselves to him, and give him the best that we have, so that he would be honored, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you're lost, he's the only Savior. You must repent and believe on him and be saved. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Laura, if you would, please come. Stand, if you would. And turn to number 366. And we're just going to give you an opportunity to reflect upon these things, and may God speak to your heart. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. And I pray that it's been a blessing to your people. And I ask the Lord, if there's any here that is lost, that it has been a blessing to them as well, that they've been made known about who Jesus Christ really is. And Lord, that they would repent and call upon him and give him their heart, that, Lord, they might be saved. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We honor you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.